Have you ever had one of these awkward conversations here at Bethel? You see someone that you haven't met before, and so you introduce yourself and you ask, how long have you been coming here to Bethel? The answer is 3 years. So you think, well, it's nice to have you here. And then the next question is, oh, where do you sit at Bethel? Maybe they sit on the left and you always sit on the right, so you've never seen them. Even though these awkward conversations do happen from time to time, I love this church family that we're a part of. Jesus is building his church, and he's promised to do so. Last week, we heard about our mission as Christians. With the authority of Jesus, we are to go and make disciples, we are to baptize and teach, and we have this promise of Jesus that he would be with us always. If you didn't listen to that message, I'd encourage you to do so, and you can do that by going to BethelBibleChapel.com, or you could ask your grandkids to help you with that. We also do provide CD copies of any of our messages. So last week was our mission as Christians. This week, I'd like to talk to you about the purpose of our church, Bethel Bible Chapel. We're going to look at some verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Did you know that Bethel has a purpose statement? These sheets with some biographies of our full-time workers were given out in December, and on the back of this sheet, also found on our website, is Bethel's purpose. Let me read it to you. The purpose of Bethel Bible Chapel is to be a caring, Christ-centered community that worships God, proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through biblical instruction and prayer and fellowship, equips the believers to serve God and share their faith as a way of life. Now, I'm not sure when this statement was put together, but it's well thought out and it captures the reason why Bethel Bible Chapel exists, why we're doing what we're doing here, why so many things happen throughout the week, both here and throughout our city. Let's pray before we continue. Father, I'm so thankful that we can be here together this morning. Thank you that you provided a facility for us to gather. And Lord, we recognize that the church refers to your people, your called out ones, those that you have saved by faith, those who can say, it is well with my soul. So thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence here with us. And Lord, as always, may all the glory go to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to focus our time on the first three words of this statement: caring, Christ-centered community. Now, you'll see in your bulletin that there are some message notes. If you find that helpful, then great. Feel free to use that. Now, you may be new here for the first time at Bethel, and so we want you to know that at the heart of this loving church family is Jesus. He's what we're all about. We're not a perfect church, and as the old joke says, if you're looking for the perfect church and you find it, don't join it, or else you'll ruin it. If you've been here for years, though, you know that church life is not always perfect. I want to remind and encourage you that you are part of the body of Christ, and that the body of Christ is to be characterized by truth and grace. We are all needy people. We all need help. And we are all needed. Ordinary people like us are needed. We are to be used by Jesus to care and love others well. To care for and love others well. Let me say that again. We are all needy people. We all need help. We recognize that. And we are all needed. ordinary people like us, like you and I, used by Jesus to care for and love others well. Now, I like the part of that where I'm needed. I usually am happy to help out when I can. I don't like the part so much that I am needy. We live in a culture that praises the individual. We make much of the person that, against all odds, does it on their own. But we can fool ourselves into thinking that we're self-sufficient, that we have it all together, but that is certainly not the case. So let's see what the Bible has to say about this. So if you haven't opened your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'd invite you to do so. We'll read verses 3 to 11. And this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he starts this way. Verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. I like to listen to music, and one of the artists and songwriters that I really admire is the late Rich Mullins. He wrote the song Our God is an Awesome God, and also the song Step by Step. And in September of 1997, he was on his way to a concert, and he was killed in a car accident. And in his biography, which is entitled An Arrow Pointing to Heaven, the author, James Brian Smith, he records these words that Rich Mullins spoke at a concert. He said this: I hear people say, why do you want to go to church? They are all just hypocrites. I never understood why going to church made you a hypocrite, because nobody goes to church because they're perfect. If you've got it all together, you don't need to go. You can go jogging with all the other perfect people on Sunday morning. Every time you go to church, you're confessing again to yourself, to your family, to the people who pass, that you pass on the way there, to the people who will greet you there, that you don't have it all together, and that you need their support. You need their direction. You need some accountability. You need some help. The purpose of Bethel Bible Chapel is to be a place where people are cared for. Bethel is to be characterized by a level of care. And what is the source of this caring? It is God himself. Look at verse 3, and it describes God in three ways. The first one is this: that God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, being fully God and fully man, is in a special relationship with God the Father. And we become sons and daughters of God, part of his family, part of his church, through being born again. And this is turning from our sin and trusting the finished work of Jesus on the cross for us. Jesus is the Son of God from all eternity. This is the greatness of God's love for us, that he gave his son for us. If we would ever doubt his love for us, when times get tough, when sickness and pain would bring us down, when our financial status looks hopeless, when we legitimately mourn the loss of family members, this we can remember, that God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? This is from Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, secondly, God is also the Father of mercies, of compassion. In youth group lately, we've been looking at the book of Jonah together. And Jonah was to deliver God's message of judgment on the evil city of Nineveh. God wanted to warn them so that they would turn from their wicked ways. But this is not what Jonah wanted, so instead he ran in the opposite direction. God used a storm and a fish to get Jonah back to where he should have been. Jonah delivers God's message. The people of Nineveh turn from their evil ways. God does not give them what they deserve, but he shows mercy instead. And Jonah, in the last chapter of the book of Jonah, he's honest in saying that this is exactly why he ran away in the first place. He said this, "I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." That's from Jonah 4, verse 2. Praise be to the God, the Father of mercies. And lastly, verse 3 describes God this way, that he is the God of all comfort. God is the God of all comfort. All lasting comfort comes from God. And in the Bible, we see that all three persons of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all engaged in this ministry of comfort to his people. Here we have the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as the God of all comfort. And then we have the title given by Jesus to the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Comforter or the Helper. In fact, Jesus said these words. He said to his disciples, his friends, "It is to your advantage. It's better for you that I go away so that the Helper will come, the Comforter." This is referring to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "If I go, I will send him to you." And as Christians, we have this Comforter living inside of us. And then Jesus in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, we read that if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The word used for advocate there is translated comforter in other places. If anyone sins, we have a comforter. We have an advocate. Come on out tonight at 7 o'clock. Nathan Lambert is also going to be sharing from 1 John. That's tonight. So we see that God the Father is the God of all comfort. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And Jesus is also the Comforter, God the Son. And because God is a God of comfort, then you and I, we receive comfort. Verse 4 says that God comforts us in all our affliction, all our troubles. And our first need is forgiveness of sin. Do you know the forgiving comfort of our loving, caring Heavenly Father? Colossians 2, 13 and 14 says this, "And you who were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him." That is Jesus, having forgiven us all our sins by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. And this forgiveness is received by faith. And so this need of forgiveness is met by God in Christ. But we recognize that we also need comfort through the pressures of life. And God uses lots of ways to comfort us through his own presence, by his Holy Spirit, through his word. The Bible, words such as in Psalm 23, it speaks of our Lord being our shepherd, that his rod and his staff, they comfort me, that his protection and correction would strengthen and encourage us. But God also comforts us through his people. And you know, there are a lot of caring people here at Bethel. I'm sure you know that. People are praying for various needs, visiting those in the hospital, preparing meals, supporting families through funerals, and the list would go on. God comforts us in all our affliction. And notice why God comforts us. This is in verse 4. It's not only for us, but so that we can comfort others. We give comfort. We see that in this verse, we are comforted in our suffering so that we may be able to care for those, experience all kinds of troubles. In our small group this past fall, we had a young couple here at Bethel who was expecting twins, and these twins have since been born. But in our small group, we also had two ladies who also had twins themselves. And so the experience that they had, they were able to share with this couple and to give them some comfort through this time. You can pray for those twin babies who are still in hospital. It's just neat to see how God works these things together amongst his people. Each of us is able to give comfort and counsel. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, Paul, he writes this to the church in Rome. He says that he is confident that they are filled with goodness and knowledge and are able to instruct one another, able to counsel one another. You and I are able to give comfort and counsel. David Powlison, he wrote this in a book entitled Suffering and the Sovereignty of God. He said this: when you've passed through your own fiery trials and found God to be true to what he says, you have real help to offer. You have firsthand experience of both his sustaining grace and his purposeful design. He has kept you through pain. He reshaped you more into his image. And further, he would write about this general skill that we learn. What you learn from God in your particular affliction becomes helpful to others in any affliction. You have a lot to offer. God has uniquely positioned you to care for some people around you. Now, the truth is, you may be in a time where you're hurting and don't feel like you have much to offer, and you need some real comfort right now. And so my confident hope and prayer is that you would be receiving the care that you need, and then God in his wisdom would redeem this suffering for his glory. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, German pastor, he was part of a Nazi resistance. He was executed in April of 1945, just a few months before World War II would have ended. But he wrote these words. He says, "I need the Christ that is in you, and you need the Christ that is in me." Let me say that again. I need the Christ that is in you, and you need the Christ that is in me. The purpose of Bethel here is to be a place where people are cared for. And also, it is a place that is Christ-centered. Paul writes in verses 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians 1 that he was burdened by so much affliction that he was in despair and he felt like he was facing certain death. Now, we don't know the particular circumstances of what trouble Paul was facing. Perhaps it was a lingering sickness. Perhaps it was a new persecution or some other hardship. Paul went through many trials and troubles in his life. A lot are recorded in the New Testament. He wrote from a Roman prison to the church at Philippi saying these words: "Now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, even here in prison, whether by life or by death, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so it's in times like these that we would see, where is our confidence? Where does our confidence really lie? God's purpose in these troubles results in a genuine confidence, a real trust in God. And Paul says that these afflictions were to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. These afflictions were to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God. Ephesians 1 says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is also at work in Christians. When we were dead in sin, we were made alive together with Christ. It is by grace that we have been saved. Garrett Higbee, he was writing in a book about biblical soul care. He says this: if Christ is not at the center of our worship and identity, sooner or later, human agenda will be. Our best attempts at fellowship, being a part of a caring, Christ-centered community, our best attempts at fellowship won't be much better than the next Rotary Club meeting down the street. It won't happen until as believers, get our focus on Christ and the gospel. And when we put Christ in the center and we have a growing understanding of the gospel, we recognize that God delivers. Look at verse 10, it says this: God delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Past, present, and future. Our confident hope is in our gracious God and his Son, Jesus Christ. He will deliver. Paul wrote later in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said these words: for our light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. God delivers. Our confidence is in him. We are to be Christ-centered. The purpose of Bethel is to be a caring, Christ-centered community. Through all of these verses, we can see the theme of community. Caring for others, sharing in suffering, sharing in comfort, relying not on ourselves, but on God. And we'll finish and look at verse 11. It says this: you also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted or the gift given us through the prayers of many. Paul is asking for prayer. Think of it. This is the Apostle Paul, and he is asking for prayer. He did this several times, in fact, in his letters. Romans 15, verses 30 to 32, Paul writes this. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will, I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25, Paul simply writes, brothers, pray for us. In Ephesians 6, verses 19 to 20, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That is, praying for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. I appreciate so much those of you who say that you're praying for me. even as I prepare to speak this morning. And so pray for those who would speak. We do need your prayers. Paul is not embarrassed by his own neediness, and so he asks for prayer. He was used to being rejected, persecuted. He was used to being put down and have his motives questioned, and so he's not embarrassed to ask for prayer. Now, in my own self-sufficiency, my self-reliance, I'm reluctant at times to ask for prayer. However, if we're going to move from superficial, hi, how's it going types of relationships to vulnerable, can you please pray for me types of relationships, then we must be willing to ask for prayer. Edward Welch, a biblical counselor, he wrote in a book called Side by Side. He writes these two statements, and notice the contrast in these statements. He said, if we desire to be perceived as competent and in control, we will not ask for prayer. And then he says, if we know that humans, that's you and I, by nature are spiritually needy, and God's plan is that we turn both to him and to other people for help, we will ask for prayer. God answers prayer, amen? And so as we ask for prayer, we can see God answering, and this blessing is given to us through the prayers of many. This blessing is a gift given from a gracious Father. And God, in his sovereignty and his wisdom, he responds to our prayers through his grace. And in Paul's case, this blessing is probably a deliverance from some kind of trouble, as well as this ability to rely and trust on God. Now, we've seen God answer some prayers at Bethel here. Health has been restored. We've seen peace given in time of loss. And you know, we continue to pray for needs. There are still needs that we are praying for. We are praying for God to move in our midst. And when we see these blessings given, this gift that is granted to us, that results in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God. When we ask for prayer, remember to let those know who you've asked to pray. Remember to let them know how God is at work. Because then God is thanked for the blessing given because of the prayers that were offered. And he gets all the glory. And so if we were to map out this verse 11, this aspect of community about prayer, it would look like this. We would see that prayer is requested. We humble ourselves to ask for prayer. We see that many pray, prayers are offered. And then we see blessing granted. God answers prayer. And then the result is thanksgiving to God. God gets all of the glory. The purpose of Bethel Bible Chapel is to be a caring, Christ-centered community that worships God, proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through biblical instruction, prayer, and fellowship, equips the believers to serve God and share their faith as a way of life. Now, the leadership here at Bethel would encourage that for those who are part of the family here, one of the best places, though not the only place that this can happen, would be in small groups to live out our caring, Christ-centered community. And so within the environment of a small group, we can care for one another. We can become familiar with particular needs that people have in our small group. Together, we can honor Jesus Christ, being Christ-centered, giving God the place that he deserves, and we can pray for one another. And so if you don't feel connected here at Bethel, they're a lovely group of ladies that I just love to introduce to you so that you can get connected to them, I'd be happy to do that. But I'd also encourage you to get involved with a small group. There are spaces available, as you've already heard. And if you're new here at Bethel, I'd also encourage you to, in our foyer, visit our guest reception, and you can find out more information about Bethel following this meeting. And if you have been comforted and cared for by the God of all comfort, then I'd encourage you to move into other people's lives so that you can help others. We recognize that we are all needy people. We all need help. And we are all needed. Ordinary people like us, used by Jesus to care for and love others well. I'm going to pray in closing, and the worship team is going to come up and lead us in a final song. And if you would like to come to the front to pray with somebody during the song or after, then there will be people to do that with you. We serve a God of all comfort, and he's inviting us to join with him to comfort others in this caring, Christ-centered community. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you for your presence in our lives. And I pray, Lord, if there is somebody here that doesn't know the comfort of your presence, doesn't know the comfort of sins forgiven, that on the cross, Jesus paid their penalty, which is death, for their sin, Lord, that you would bring them into your family. You'd bring them into a relationship with you. And Lord, as we've been talking about, bring them into a caring, Christ-centered community where we can receive care and comfort from you and from other people. And Lord, in turn, we can comfort and care for others. Lord, I'm so thankful for this comfort and caring community that we call Bethel here in Sault Ste. Marie. And Lord, would you just multiply and abound that care and comfort amongst us here as we reach out to one another, as we reach out into our community in various ways. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done and will continue to do. Lord, we recognize our need of you, and we also see that we are needed. Thank you, and we give you all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.